We are live. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Stack of news here. All 3 hours, open lines. Before I get into this review of the Obama deception off of eastafrican.com making its ways around everywhere, I want to give you a heads up on what we will be talking about in tonight's program. Obviously going to be talking about the 1971 incident where the CIA released African swine fever virus into Cuba. No, the CIA government, they don't have the power to do those sorts of things. Meanwhile, the WHO is now investigating a claim that it might have been a biological accident and it got out. You know, it seems like here it is. Swine flu may be human error. WHO investigates claim. And then we have this other scientist who was arrested for smuggling vials used in Ebola research into the United States. Apparently, a Canadian scientist has been arrested for smuggling 22 vials stolen from Canada's National Microbiology Lab, used in Ebola and HIV research, into the United States. Canadian U.S. officials said Wednesday. Now, I'm not sure whether or not these vials were contaminated, what they had in them, but it's making news, so we're going to cover it. Some other bizarre news about the flu over at Bloomberg. It's claiming that we're going to have to kill a bunch of chickens next. That's the next deal. UK ISPs refusing to play internet copyright cops. And then in the UK, they have this police pledge program we're also going to be talking about. And this police pledge program, know your rights as a citizen. It's basically setting up tattletale squads in the UK. They've been doing that for some time. Four arrested for having toy guns. When we covered the story yesterday, kind of. We tried to play the clip, but was being a pain in the arness of the kid with the gun who supposedly, he pointed that toy gun right at me and we shot him. And then they cuffed him even after they figured out it was a toy gun. Luckily, he survived. But they just arrested four kids who were doing this film project for having toy guns. So no guns for you, no toy guns for you. HR 2159, you're not allowed to have a gun if you're on one of these terrorist lists. And by golly, everyone is. So we're going to cover all that stuff. Plus a poem from Steve in Texas. I got the poem. I figured I'd read it on air. Like I said, I got all 3 hours here. The call in line, by the way, is 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933. I'm also going to be covering this World Vaccine Congress in Washington, 2009. This was in April 20th to the 23rd. So it took place in Washington, Dulles, right before this weird little outbreak we had. And it just goes through all the different companies that were there, how you can make profits on vaccinations. Very loving, loving stuff. With a minute or so left I've got in this segment, I'm going to read a little bit of this review. Conspiracy theories have mesmerized us since the time immemorial. They appeal because they offer an interpretation of which events and people are connected by plan rather than by randomly arranged that strikes the layman. This is a little bit off because I guess it was translated from African. We all search for meaning in our lives, some of us in the powers above. A new documentary by Alex Jones, The Obama Deception, The Mask Comes Off, takes the idea of conspiracy to new heights or new depths, depending on whether you believe it or not. It all centers around the existence of something called the Bilderberg Group. By the way, they kick off their meeting tomorrow, don't they? Little Bilderbergen over in Greece. I won't be going. I'm not one of the 144 most powerful people in the world. Nice to think I am. Not really. But they will be meeting and they will be setting the agenda. And hopefully Jim Tucker and others who will be, you know, out in Greece reporting on that can give us a call. Let us know what's going on. We will bring you the information first. I'm the Info Warrior. It's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and don't forget my little blog, TheInfoWarrior.com. We'll be right back. folks, we are back. I'm going to continue to read this Obama deception review because it's obviously by somebody who had no idea that this film even existed, doesn't listen to Alex Jones, doesn't know about this show, maybe doesn't follow the alternative media at all, at all. And then I'm going to jump to this swine flu, maybe human error, because it's a big, big story. Now they're saying, oh, it may have come out of a lab, but it must have been an accident. See, if it comes out of a lab, it has to be an accident. They can't say, or they'll blame it on a lone nut. But right now, it's just going to be an accident. But we'll get to that story in a moment. All right. So let's go back to the Bilderberg Group. It all centers around the existence of something called the Bilderberg Group, started by the Nazi Prince Bernard of Holland, and to this day made up 125 of the richest and most powerful individuals in the world. Since its inception, it has supported hard men like Hitler, Lenin, and Stalin, and is slowly and surely making its way towards world government by international banking and finance interest. Correct. Webster Tarpley, American author and historian, proclaims, "There is no right or left. There is only Wall Street. Wall Street has replaced Main Street." Not that this is new. Andrew Jackson was lambasted for refusing to allow a private bank, and the revered Abraham Lincoln spoke prophetically before he was assassinated of the evil power of money, of corporations enthroned. This is how the story goes. 8 years of Bush had brought the American people to the point of revolution. Democrats and Republicans were equally despised, which they were. I mean, Congress had a single-digit approval rating. Do you understand what that means? A single-digit – well, let me put it this way. Did you ever fail a test? I'm sure you did. What'd you get? Maybe a 40? 40's bad. 30's bad. No. They got like a 9, okay? That's less than 1 in 10 correct. That's right. So, yeah, people were very upset. Democrats and Republicans were equally despised. So a way had to be found to defuse the popular anger without diluting the power of Wall Street. The filmmakers have enlisted popular black spokespersons and human rights activists like hip-hop artist KRS-One and Professor Griff to add balance to the argument just in case it was in danger of appearing racist. Well, that would have been very easy for them to do if we didn't have some prominent African-American people in it. That's true. I mean, they would have jumped all over it. There are people out there that want to say, of course he's racist, you know, because he's a white guy and he doesn't like Obama. I mean, they want to make this about race. Remember, if you went to the teabagging events last month, you're a racist, or you hate black people, according to Janine Garofalo. It's absolute ridiculousness. The point being made, like all good conspiracies, this one is secret. The real power remains invisible at all times. Well, it doesn't necessarily remain invisible. It remains elusive. We know who they are. We know where they meet. But it does often take time to figure out what they discuss and how they are going to achieve their agenda, because their agenda leaks too. But the problem is that they own the media, and you don't see articles like this. USA Today hasn't covered it. Newsweek hasn't covered it. I didn't see it at the New York Times or the Washington Post, did you? The theory goes that Obama was carefully groomed by the elite, which he was. I mean, again, the guy was a state senator until 2004. He then runs for Senate, gets it, and then doesn't even serve out half of his term before he announces his presidency. State senator, not a senator. He was a senator for less than a term. I mean, come on. Which also comprises the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, correct. Two of the big think tank groups that do help set policy in this country to carry on their work. The fury created by the Bush years had left the people ready for change. The world military financial axis was in danger. It had to find a puppet to see that its work continued. And who better than a charming, handsome black man like Barack Obama? KRS-One says this is how people were fooled. We thought, now there's a black man in the White House. We can just sit back. But he says, that just ain't true. And it goes on. It's actually a pretty fair and balanced article. I hope people go check it out. I'm sure we're going to post it over at Infowars.com. It's now the Obama conspiracy theory, so definitely go check that. All right, let's jump to this story, and then in the next segment we will take your calls, because this one's a big one. You know, I covered earlier on the Alex Jones show, if you missed it, that the CIA back in 1971 released the swine flu. I'm sorry, the African swine virus. The only difference between that and the swine flu is that you can't have pig-to-human transmission. But again, this is almost 40 years ago. But the government's good. They'd never do anything like this. And what they did is they weaseled it all throughout Cuba, including Guantanamo Bay. And then they released it. They had to destroy, I think, their entire pig crop. It was something like 500,000 pigs. I got to find that story in front of me. It was in the, and by the way, this was published 7 years later in the San Francisco Chronicle. And the legwork, I think, was done by New York Newsday, a fine publication, one of the better publications. New York Newsday doesn't get the national recognition it really needs to. I hope it's around for quite some time because, again, we don't really have a great media system in this country, if you haven't noticed. Here is the article right here. Let's see. It went through unmarked containers at Fort Gullick, an army base in the Panama Canal Zone, then was taken to Navassa Island, Toro, Panama. I'm sorry, Boca de Toro, Panama. Taken to Cuba, given to other operatives on the southern coast near the U.S. Navy base at Guantanamo Bay in late March, and then released. You know, I mean, the CIA releases bioweapons in the 70s, but they'd never do it again. Never do it again. Yet we have this Bloomberg article now. The World Health Organization is investigating a claim by an Australian researcher that the swine flu virus circling the globe may have been created as a result of human error. Remember, it's always accident. If it looks like it comes out of a lab, it has to be a boo-boo, a mistakey. It can't be, oh yeah, by the way, we did this and we want to see how the public would react and we wanted to stir up fear, even though they, I mean, it's unbelievable. They have this huge World Vaccine Congress. Remember that, 3 weeks ago we saw the swine flu. Magically, this World Vaccine Congress is on April 20th to the 23rd. And it has GE, BD Medical, PAL Life Sciences, Crucial, Synco. Let's see, Millipore, Health Protection Agency, CSL Biotherapies, Quintiles, Radiant, basically all of Big Pharma. All of Big Pharma getting together just at the time of a new pandemic. And covers like this one, Fear and the Flu, where this woman actually gets up on the Colbert Report and says, the swine flu came from the United States, but it wasn't made in a lab. If you believe it was made in a lab and the government did it, you also believe the Jews must have done it, a.k.a. the Jews. It's not really clear. And by the way, Lou Dobbs is a racist and I hate him. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. And now Adrian Gibbs, who's 75, he collaborated on research that led to the development of Roche Holdings AG's Tamiflu drug, intends to publish a report suggesting the new strain may have accidentally evolved in eggs scientists used to grow viruses and drug makers used to make vaccines. Gibbs said he came to this conclusion as part of an effort to trace the virus's origin by analyzing its genetic blueprint. One of the simplest explanations is that it's a laboratory escape. Oh, so that would make sense, huh? You're telling me this would be very easy if it was a laboratory escape. It came out of a lab. So it's not only possible, it's probable, according to this guy. The World Health Organization received the study last weekend and is reviewing it. Gibbs, so they've known about this since last weekend. Gibbs, who has studied germ evolution for 4 decades, he's one of the first scientists to analyze the genetic makeup of the virus that was identified 3 weeks ago in Mexico and threatens to touch off the first flu pandemic since 1968. And again, you know, we played you the clip last night of Meredith Vieira telling you that the Obama administration may want mandatory vaccinations. Let me say it again. Mandatory vaccinations for the entire country. A 3-shot. A 1, a 2, a 3 to protect us from the flu virus. And remember, they went all the way up to pandemic level 6. They had to change the definition of the word pandemic. Literally changed it on the WHO's website so they could go to pandemic level 5 and say, hey, it really looks like we're going to level 6. Level 6 means quarantines, no human rights. mass vaccinations. Maybe we'll just put in Executive Order 13375. And if we do that, well, then if you don't want to take the vaccine, you can do a year in prison or a $250,000 fine. But that's, you know, if we don't shoot you in the back during the quarantines, because, again, you have no individual human civil rights. Now, let's say this again, this is Bloomberg, the same people that reported that Baxter had sent out a batch of vaccines to 14 separate countries with live bird flu virus, two different types, and a live human flu, and them killed a ferret. So this is somewhat mainline. This is obviously today's report. Let's see if it's picked up anywhere. Let's see if we see it on the news. The more you don't see this on the news, the more you know it's correct. And if you do see it on the news and they continue to play up the angle, oh, laboratory escape, big accident. Very sloppy, these scientists. I can't believe they would allow this to get out. Well, then that's kind of damage control. They know it's going to get out. But I don't know how, again, how is it even, again, you know, you got the Indonesian foreign health minister saying, yeah, looks like Western governments are manufacturing this stuff and releasing them. And then they've done it in the 70s to Cuba. And I report on it, but I must be crazy. We'll be back after this with your phone calls. It's 866-582-9933. And I promised I'd take your calls. I'm going to do so in just a moment. I just want to thank one of our great sponsors. It's ecigarettschoice.com. If you're watching the PrisonPlanet.tv right now, this is what it looks like. Looks almost exactly like a real cigarette, and it's this simple. You charge this part every once in a while. Lights up, and there goes the vapor. You can do it inside. It's a great way to kick the habit. If you're not looking to kick the habit, it's a great way to get your nicotine fixed without having to go outside in the cold or the extreme heat or do so in the mall or at a movie. ECigarettesChoice.com is the website. We're actually going to be doing a giveaway soon for these. So if you're interested in eCigarettes Choice, I think I'm going to have like a little game, you know, make this show interesting. We'll do like a Who Knows the New World Order Best and maybe do like a half an hour segment or so on it. But I'm sending this to my mother. Hopefully it's going to get her to kick the cigarettes once and for all. She's been smoking on and off since I was a little lad, and I'm hoping this will do it. So ecigarettschoice.com, go check them out. All right, let's go to our first caller. Let's go to Dalton in Michigan. Dalton, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Jason? Thank you. Good. For waking me up. I've been a confused Buddhist neocon for about 10 years, so thanks. Hey, I just want to first two things. Love that new Silver Solution. Good product. Everyone get on it.
Oh, cool.
I'm getting my old lady on the e-cigarettes pretty soon.
Awesome.
And one thing I just want to throw out, I don't expect you necessarily to answer it.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody listening needs to think about it. What is the line in the sand? It's obviously,
I think they have crossed it, by the way. I mean, where was the line in the sand? It's gone, brother. Go ahead.
It's obvious they have troops on the streets, and incrementally it's going to get greater and greater.
Mm-hmm.
$14 trillion missing out of from the Federal Reserve. We're going to be on the hook for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious they're going to go after the Second Amendment. First Amendment's under attack. I mean, what is the line, and what are we going to do about it?
Well, I'm hoping that at least the line for at least the gun owners, and I'm going to let you continue in a second, is this 2159. I hope they go out en masse and say, no, we're not going to allow you to just take guns away from people you put on a list when it's obviously the DHS lists are everybody. It's for everyone. I mean, every American should be reading these DHS reports and be disgusted.
Absolutely, should be.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all got, I mean, I got family, I got two homes, I got a business. Everyone has everything to lose, but all we've got left to hand on to our kids, because their finances are going to be destroyed, is we got a Bill of Rights, we got our Constitution. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not being aggressive or anything like that. I'm a sane frame of mind. But, you know, it's live for nothing or die for something. And unfortunately, it may get to that point. I hope people are aware that if we do not use civil disobedience like Gandhi first, it will get ugly real fast. We need to unite, be civil, be smart. If that means truckers shut down the highways and the engineers shut down the rail systems. They need to know we're serious, and we don't want to get ugly. We need to use our finances first before they're all gone.
No, I agree. And you know what? The civil disobedience, illegal or legal, is now being named in these DHS reports. And I think they're realizing that more and more people are ready to take that route. That's why they're really going after these tea parties, co-opting those, and really trying to just demonize every single group. Hacktivists, anti-technology, anti-illegal immigration, you name it, it's in there. It's not just the Christians anymore. They are persecuting everybody. Everybody.
You know, I donated the Bob Barr. And I get a letter from the Bob Barr campaign letting me know that I was put on a list for giving him $25.
It's ridiculous. Pretty wild. It's pretty Bob Barr, the guy who ate the cheese in Borat. Yes, Bob Barr is the danger. He's honestly one of the better congressmen out there, but I wouldn't even say he was the best. Obviously, I voted for Cynthia McKinney, who I, you know, differ on quite a few issues. But at the same time, when she was in Congress, she was great. And, you know, it also allowed me to be like, look, you know, this isn't about race. It wasn't about race. I voted for a black person because they're like, you didn't vote for Obama because he was black. I'm like, no, actually, I thought the overall best candidate that actually ran was Cynthia McKinney. Obviously, if Ron Paul had run, I would have voted for him. I thank you for the call, Dalton. Let's go to High Def in California. High Def, you're online. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes.
How's it going, Jason?
Good.
All right, man. I got a question and a comment. First, my question. I know the Obama's at ASU today. Have you heard any update on what's going on with We Are Changed Arizona?
No, but you know what? I'm hoping they're going to call. Can you turn down that radio, too, because I'm getting the feedback. Basically, you know, we've had those guys on recently. They called up a couple of times, but we had the main guy on, and I really do hope that it went well today. I mean, they said that they had already handed out something like, you know, 8,000 or 9,000. They said they had 5 or 6 left. Hold over. I'll talk to you in a moment. But yeah, I mean, that was a great proactive way to get the message out just before Obama came to ASU. I wonder what he's doing the next few days. Maybe flying to Greece? Ooh, dare I say it. The Guardian is reporting on Bilderberg this year. We'll be back to talk about it. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com. It's the Alex Jones Show. It's the Alex Jones Show. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. I'm so used to doing the Alex Jones Show, I think I'm losing my mind. The other day, on Monday, Alex didn't come here till like 5 of, and everybody, hey, Burmes, you doing the show today? Hey, Burmes, you doing the show? Hey, is Alex not coming in? Are you doing the show today, Burmes? So now sometimes when I'm doing my show, I think I'm doing the Alex Jones Show. No, it's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. We're in the line with High Def. He's asking me what's going on with Arizona, We Are Changed. They ran a big program to hand out 10,000 Obama deceptions to ASU students before he went there. He just spoke there. And I don't have any information on that. If anybody did attend the event, hopefully they'll call in and give us the scoop. What else you got for me, High Def?
Yeah, man. I'm over here in Santa Cruz, California, and I actually sent you a message to your MySpace about this. There's a guy here who I just recently found out, and he's been having legal trouble since 2003. He actually got, they tried to kill him. The sheriff department actually tried killing him, and it was, and then the sheriff guy ended up resigning that year. It turns out, I've been looking into it, it turns out this guy was, he's a wealthy entrepreneur here in the Silicon Valley area. He has a great, you know, resume. He's worked with many companies around here, and he was actually building a way, way better internet than we have today. With it was like far advanced, and he believes that's one of the reasons they're going after him. But basically, they've taken his kids. That he's divorced. They've taken his kids. They've taken his house, which his father paid for completely. They just evicted him without a jury or trial or anything. They keep bringing all these false accusations on him, and as it turns out, the only judge in town who is got a reputation for being, you know, fair, when that judge was going to hear his case, that judge actually mysteriously died a week before he got to hear his case. And
well, if what you're saying is true, man, I mean, the bottom line is they don't want a competing internet. You know, they want a controlled internet, too. They don't want an open source internet, too. And who knows? I do remember seeing something on that email, but I didn't see a lot of source articles. So, you know, I got to just take your word for it. You know, I report what I can prove. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I sent you the a video because he actually started up a couple of websites based on this. He was never even into politics or any of this, and he explains it in the video that I linked it in a message to your MySpace.
Yeah, it was a video. That's right. Yeah, like I said, man, I got to stick to what I can see in the news agencies and, you know, what they report on, whether they give us propaganda or not. That's what I feed off of and try to expose. I appreciate the call. Let's jump to Jesse in Texas. Jesse, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Jason?
How you doing?
Dude, I'm surprised they haven't kicked me off of MySpace because, okay, check it out. I actually copied and pasted the website Infowars.com as my user screen name, and like, you know, they haven't said anything about it, which is kind of weird because I don't know, like, I guess they're kind of like, you shouldn't have that, but you know, screw these people. It's like, and I've been trying to tell people about this, but it seems like they really don't care, and I'm like, come on, like, you know, there's, who cares about, you know, Britney Spears or, you know, what the hell's happening with her, you know. But anyways,
well, the most people, you're right, man. Most people do care more about Angelina and Brad maybe breaking up, maybe having another kid. They want to know about the new Quentin Tarantino movie with Brad. They want to know about Michael Phelps' threesome, man. I'm sorry. That's just the way things are. I mean, that's... go ahead.
Yeah, and it is true. Oh, and since I'm right near Mexico, a person died of the... whatever the flu is called, and
the swine flu.
Yeah, like people.
Now wait a minute. Yeah, they so died. This person like died in America. Are you talking about the teacher?
No.
The kid, the 2-year-old.
Yeah,
the 2-year-old, so, man. Again, he is a Mexican citizen. He had chronic illnesses beforehand. He was a premature birth. He didn't die of the swine flu. Nobody in this country has died of the swine flu. We need to stop saying that and repeating that and myth.
Like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, like, that's what I said, and, like, you know, I'm at school, and, you know, now this guy's like, oh, you know, person died, you know, all this flu. It's like, dude, one person freaking died, you know, we're not going to all die. I don't know, but anyways, I just find your show and also Alex's show very informative, and, yeah, so hopefully, you know, they won't kick, you know, hopefully they won't take off my profile for...
Yeah, well, let's hope that they don't censor anybody else who's trying to get the InfoWars message out there. I thank you for the call, Jesse. Let's go to Greg in Minnesota. Greg, you're on the line.
Well, hello there, Jason. This is Greg. And yes, I have some ideas I'd like to bounce off you as far as tactics. Now, I agree with you that the flu was man-made, and of course the media, they're portraying it as being an accident. Well, I don't believe that, but what if we take them as their word, hold their feet to the fire, and see who they throw under the bus, see how fast they try to say, well, let's forgive and forget. And the thing is, there have been people that have done much less things than starting the swine flu and have ended up in jail, so... I mean, it would show their hypocrisy, what I'm saying.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, people act, and can you turn down that radio? People act like the CIA has never released a bioweapon. Meanwhile, I'm reading mainline reports from the San Francisco Chronicle, 1977, where they released the swine virus, the African swine virus, in Cuba on the population. You know, they've done this before. And then you say, well, I don't think you should take this vaccination by Baxter because Baxter just got caught sending out vaccinations with 2 live bird flu viruses and a live human virus in it. And they're like, no, that's a conspiracy theory. Then I'm like, well, what about in the late 50s and 60s where they admitted that they put SV40 in the vaccinations, in the polio vaccinations, and had to pay out on that? People are just like, oh, that's the past. They never do that again. And then I'm like, well, what about the injectable factor 8 bear medicine that gave people AIDS in this country? They knew it was doing it. And then they shipped it overseas without warning anybody to turn a profit. I mean, how many times do we have to be poisoned by, you know, a needle before we wake up and say no more?
Exactly. I just watched and just got the Obama deception yesterday. Wonderful. Kudos to you guys.
Oh,
and
you.
To Alex. And I came up with an idea, you know, because he touched on the riots, not well, the, what they tried to make of it in Denver with the protests. And
yeah.
Those,
yeah, yeah.
And those,
well,
those
let's talk about that for a second, because that's so far in the past now. That's about a year ago, and we were reporting on it pretty heavily then. But all of a sudden, this organization named Recreate 68 appears out of nowhere. You go to their website, they're encouraging people to bring red paint, throw it on them. They had an actual shield book PDF file where they were telling you how to show up in combat gear to combat the police in riot gear. I mean, they were trying to provoke violence there, and we exposed it. It didn't happen.
Well, what if there were some younger people than I that could take one or two of those provocateurs and do a citizen's arrest, turn them into the police as being a good citizen? In other words, turn it against them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, unfortunately, that's wishful thinking. I don't know if you saw the story about, I think this was 18 months ago, but you just type it in. There was a small Canadian protest. We're talking about maybe 15, 20 people, right? Now the cops show up in full jackboot uniform. Now one of the guys who's on the side of the protester, he's the only guy who has his face masked, okay? He's trying to make it into an anarchist thing. And he's picking up cinder blocks and rocks and trying to encourage everybody to throw them at the cops, right? Now every single person there is pointing at him, and this is on YouTube. You can see it's going, "No, you're a cop. We know you're a cop." And he's like, "Ah, no. We need to get these cops. We need anarchy." And then the one of them points at his boots and goes, "You're wearing the same exact boots as all of the police officers standing here." Literally within 30 seconds, they violently arrest this guy, and then they have to come out and admit, "Yeah, he was a provocateur. Yeah, he was working for the police department, and no, he didn't get in trouble, sir."
Well, I think if more of that is done, it might help to bring the mainstream media into the discussion of these things.
Well, I hope so. I encourage you to take a look at that story when you see that. You know, show it to other non-like-minded people, people that aren't awake yet, because I wish it were that simple. I wish it were as simple in 2000 when they did the same thing in Seattle, where we could have just been like, all right, that guy's a cop, he's provocateuring that idiot over there. But, you know, they keep it compartmentalized. They act like they can do this. They are above us. They are our lords. I appreciate the call, sir. Let's go to John in California. John, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
You got it.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
We got an echo. But listen, I wanted to go back to the topic of the flu, okay? I live in Ventura County in Southern California. It's about an hour and a half north of L.A. So just the other day, I heard on your show just yesterday, I think, some figure like 2,500 cases now in the U.S. Well, just the other day, I drove down to Santa Monica, which is basically West L.A., and we went to a big restaurant for my sister's birthday. We had brunch, and a big deli restaurant. Place was packed, people waiting for tables, you know, business as usual on a beautiful weekend. And what I'm trying to get at, it was that, like, nothing happening, okay? No gas masks, no particle masks, no cops. It was like business as usual, people just having a good time, no stress, just eating good food. Like, where was the flu? I mean, like, I didn't visit any hospitals, but thank God. But, you know, what's actually going on? There's no flu.
Yeah, no, I understand exactly what you're saying. They tried to hype it up. They quarantined people in Hong Kong. They quarantined people in China. They showed selective pictures in major city areas where, like, maybe a dozen people had the flu on it. It got big hype in the UK. No one died in this country. Not a one. And now they're saying, by the way, that they might have to kill all the hens. Let me read this one. This one's out of Bloomberg. Politics, Warren Buffett, Madoff Industries, currencies. Oh, I'm sorry. Hilton chickens are essential to stave off pandemics. The hens housed in air-conditioned sheds and kept in shape with vitamin-rich diet, blood tests, and doctor's visits lay eggs, critical to the creation of a new vaccine. It is needed to foil the flu virus that may prompt the World Health Organization to declare the first pandemic since 1968. Now, here they admit that seasonal flu causes 250,000 to 500,000 deaths a year. So, all right, let's say if we had two cases in the United States, which we didn't, of people dying in flu over the last 3 weeks, that would be par for the course for the seasonal regular flu. It would be even less than that. Now they're saying this pandemic strain might kill millions, according to WHO. Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
It's P purely fictional. It's purely fictional. It's like it doesn't exist at all. It's like 1984 to the max. Let me just tell you something else while we're at it. I took the flu shot. I'm 61 years old. I never took a flu shot before this year because they were giving them out at the clinic where I go. This year I had a record spring. All spring long I've had a cold, some flu symptoms, to some malaise, some problem all spring long. I'm waking up now with sneezing and blowing my nose for the first time in my life. I don't know if it's coincidence, but, you know, this shit, this, excuse me, this stuff is bad news.
No, I hear you, brother. I got to let you go. I got to jump to my next caller. You know what? Before we go to Mark in Wisconsin and Steven in Texas, and I'm going to read Steven's poem, but I want to hit on this really quickly. July 7th, in other words, the 7-7 police officers have been arrested over expense claims. That's right. Some of the people who were supposedly investigating the 7-7 attacks are being arrested, and they're saying it's because they spent the money wrong. This looks like they're trying to cover it up, in my opinion. We'll read that later. But first, let me read this poem. What is an info warrior from Steven in Texas? I can tell my board ops are loving it. Jaron's got a boyish giggle going on out there. Hey, world, yo, man, listen up. There's something I got to say. I want to make it plain that the info warrior is here today. An info warrior isn't seeking for personal fame or glory, nor is an info warrior someone who's into some Hollywood story. An info warrior makes it his business to stand for what is right, to combat the evil lies of the global elite who love the night. Inside the heart of an info warrior beats a message clear and strong, one that cuts through the propaganda and believes in right and wrong. An info warrior puts up with a lot and lays it all on the line because he knows he's worth it and he'll be vindicated in time. Even though he's slandered and threatened and sorely ridiculed, all that does is serve to add to his inner fire that is fueled. In fact, he thrives on these attacks. It says he's gaining ground. He knows it means the enemy is on the run, and they're going down. The New World Order think they're God, and with Satan they will rule. Thus they live the grand illusion, showing they are the fool. And so he'll keep on keeping on in his battle for liberty, the info warrior fighting on against global tyranny. It's all about endurance and staying true to what he knows will prevail. When all is said and done, it's truth and goodness and love that will never fail. That's a good one. Not too bad. And InfoWars, death to the NWO. We do appreciate that, Stephen, and we'll be going to you in a moment. But let's jump to Mark in Wisconsin first. Mark, you're on the line.
Hey, what's going on, Jason?
How you doing?
Doing all right. I'd like to actually give a shout-out to Steven. I've been meaning to do that for a while. He calls in a lot. I just wanted to say to him, I'm not you, but thanks for all the support as far as, you know, being an info warrior, getting out there and being active. I know you say all the time he's active, and I hear the show every night. He is. So, Steven, good on you, and keep writing, my friend. And to you, Mr. Jason, thanks for linking to that 7Load site. There are over 100 views. Yeah, that was great. There are over 100 views on your show already. I uploaded Alex's from the other day. That's up there. And I'm going to be doing that every day, getting everything up there. And let's see here. What else did I want to address? Oh, that's right. I was actually going to ask if one of your producers or something could hold me over and get some contact information off air. Because what I'd like to do with that 7Load account is have enough respect and maybe some of the other gentlemen that were keeping big InfoWars channels up on YouTube and some of the other sites, I don't know if Enough Respect's channel was taken down. Probably. I haven't checked.
No, I think it has been taken down. Enough Respect. All the guys that basically had Alex Jones channels have been taken down. This is what you can do. I mean, I don't know if you're a PrisonPlan.tv subscriber. I would think you are.
Absolutely.
Because you're uploading the full three-hour bit. I mean, if you can get the tech to just cut them down to one-hour clips and do post hours 1 through 3, I think that might be a little more palatable because some people will complain, oh, you know, it's 3 hours long. I got to get through the whole thing. I don't know how to jump around very well. But I don't know if those guys actually kept the files because A lot of times, you know, once it's encoded and uploaded, they dump the WMV, the FLV, or the MOV that they downloaded from Prison Planet. But we'll definitely, if you shoot me, I know who you are on MySpace. I went through all your tips today up until a certain point when I haven't checked my MySpace probably in a few hours now. But if you send me the contact info, I'll talk to those guys and maybe get you in touch with them on YouTube, see if we can't use that 7Load account. By the way, if you guys didn't go to my website, theinfowarrior.com, I did post my entire show from Monday night on the InfoWarrior for free because of this YouTube and Google censorship. I want the information out there so badly, folks, that we will post the entire thing for free every night if we have to. So this new 7Load account may be the answer we're looking for to get Alex Jones and the InfoWarrior out there. I thank you for the call, Mark. We're going to come back to Steven, Rob, and others. The call in line is 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. That right as the flu outbreak, the swine flu outbreak happens, the World Vaccine Congress is being held at the Westfield Marriott in Dulles, Washington, D.C. Isn't that weird? That's just so crazy. It's just so crazy all of Big Pharma was there just at the same exact time, huh? It's just wild. And then they said, oh, pigs from Mexico caused it. Didn't find any pigs from Mexico. Then they say, oh, we found some pigs up in the Canadian region, but some Mexican immigrant worker must have given it to them. Doesn't sound very right. Then the Fear and the Flu woman with this little piggy snout on the cover. See, it's coming through a bars and we're all going to get attacked by this pig swine flu. She says it came from America, but definitely not the U.S. government or in a lab. No, it couldn't be that. And now we have this 75-year-old Austrian who's come out and said, well, it's probably the simplest explanation, Adrian Gibbs, but it was accidental. Remember, if it comes from a lab, it has to be an accident. It can't be, you know, a malicious plot by our government, even though in the 70s they released the African swine virus in Cuba. They would never biologically attack a population. That could never occur. All right, let's jump to Steve in Texas. Steven, you're on the line.
Yeah, hey, you know, Jason, that poem, I think that was written by my evil twin, because I think I've got the straight scoop now on what an info warrior really is. Yeah, it's somebody that's tied in with the skinheads and the Nazi sympathizers and the terrorists. And in fact, it's somebody that would actually appear on the Al-Qaeda Jones show today wearing a yellow T-shirt with that dreaded Don't Tread on Me symbol. In fact, look just like you, Jason and Laden.
Yes, I was wearing the Don't Tread on Me. Today I have on, what do I have on here? I got the Statue of Liberty, a well-known Illuminati symbol, but actually it's the Statue of Liberty taken down, it looks like, in the Planet of the Apes, very hip and, you know, damn them, they destroyed it all.
Yeah, right.
Let's hope we don't, you know. I would really hate, you know, as much as I'd really hate the Terminator scenario, I think the human evolution scenario where we end up killing ourselves and then ape men take over, that might be a little more nightmarish. I don't know, Steven.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, I know that, you know, there's people calling, they gush all over you guys, and say, oh, you're my hero and all. And that's just my way of saying thank you, because I really, really do appreciate what you and Alex have done and continue to do. I mean, you know, I look at the films you guys produce and all, you know, all the work you put into these shows and all the stuff that you put up with, man, and it's just, you know, I just am very thankful for you guys, and you're a great inspiration to me in this war.
Well, thank you, man. You know, before you get off the film thing, I've been really working hard on this Invisible Empire. I've been getting a lot of footage in. And wait till you see, I mean, there is no doubt that not only is there a new world order, but they've been setting it up incrementally. And I actually got George Bush's commencement address on the New World Order the other day. Watched it last night. He drops the NWO bomb maybe one, two dozen times. I mean, just throughout. And he assures everybody the New World Order doesn't mean you're going to lose your liberty or your sovereignty. It's going to be freedom and peace for all. But then he starts talking about international organizations and international legislation. And then today, I've been going through this, I think it's Senate Foreign Relations Committee deal, where James Baker is echoing the same exact thing. You know, this isn't just Bush, this isn't just Baker, this isn't just Clinton, this isn't just Jesse Jackson, this isn't just Gordon Brown, Tony Blair, Henry Kissinger, you know, H.G. Wells, Hitler. This is a philosophy that has thrived and continues to thrive even further into reality and is truly emerging. We're going to come back to Stephen and others. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com.
No one knows who gave the orders. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart.
Our man at Bilderberg. I take the vow. In pursuit of the world's most powerful cabal, once a year it is rumored. It's not rumored, it's fact. The global elite gather at a luxury hotel to chew the fat and fine-tune their secret plans for world domination. We sent Charlie Skelton in pursuit. And we're going to read that article and much, much more as we go through this evening in the info war. But first, I'm going to go back to Stephen and others. Stephen, go ahead.
Yeah, it's rumored that Alex Jones was detained at the Canadian border back in 06, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just rumor in the headline. I mean, they sent out an official list last year. The American Friends of Bilderberg. By the way, I haven't seen a list by the American Friends of Bilderberg yet. Maybe I need to type in Bilderberg 2009 list, do a past 24 hours Google search and see if anything comes up, see who the big name players are that are on the roster this year. But there's no rumor about it, Stephen.
No, not at all. And I wanted to bring up an article that's on WorldNet Daily, but real quick, I just wanted to say, you know, you were talking about how, you know, Bush used New World Order and over and over and over again, but, you know, assured us this isn't dealing with taking away our rights. No, Alex just had that guy from the FBI in the 9/11, the Road to Tyranny, saying, you know, will you have to give up some of your liberties for the sake of security? Maybe. So, but, you know, that's just a figment of our imagination.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But there's an article that came out, it's dated May 10th on WorldNet Daily, and of course, you know, I have some issues with them because of their promoting, whether, you know, they know it or not, this right-left false paradigm by having people like Ann Coulter on there. But they do have some good articles, and this one, it's by Bob Unruh, who's one of the main contributors, and it's called Electronic Police State Report Cites U.S. Ultimate Big Brother Basics Are in Place. Now, it goes into about this electronic police state report assesses the status of governmental surveillance in 52 nations around the globe for 2008. It was released by something called Crypto Hippie Incorporated, which was set up in 2007 through the acquisition of several little-known but highly regarded providers of privacy technologies. Okay, now, here's my take on this, and I wanted to get your response to this. It ranks China and North Korea as number one and number two, respectively, for being the worst when it comes to governmental surveillance out of these 52 nations. It ranks the UK and United States as fifth and sixth. Well, if they were saying human rights violations, I would agree. But as far as surveillance by the government, I can't see how they, you know, I understand to a point what they're saying, but with the technology that we've got and the daily reports we're getting about the UK and the United States, I have to disagree with that and say that it's got to be in that order, the UK and then the United States, or maybe the other way around. What do you think?
No, I would say UK, United States, absolutely. Well, the United Kingdom's only really ahead of us because it's a smaller country. You know what I mean? And they've built a huge infrastructure in London. And the only comparable infrastructure that you can see anywhere else in the world is probably New York City, really lower Manhattan. Not all five boroughs are as bad as some of the places in Europe. I'm with you 110%. If it were human rights violations, you're right. It would probably be China and North Korea. But it's not human rights violations. It's cameras. It's surveillance. And they're them ruling in Wisconsin that police officers, without a warrant, can now put a GPS tracker device on your car, track and trace you, is absolutely outrageous and screams high-tech police state. I thank you for the call, Stephen. We're going to go to Rob, David, Travis, and others on the other side. But I want to read more of this article, tailed from the airport by his hundreds of different cars at different stages. I don't quite know why I'm on the flight to Athens, except that it seems like the right thing to do. I'm flying out on the last-minute whim to hang around outside a conference, which may or may not be happening, and which I was not invited. None of you has. You won't have to read about it. You won't have to see a guest list. You won't see photographs of it. It isn't happening. It doesn't exist. I'm flying out to Athens for no reason at all. We'll be back with the rest of this article on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes.
Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. The man come and take you away. We better stop.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're going to go back to your calls, Rob, David, Travis, and more. But I want to keep reading this Charlie Skelton Guardian article where everything doesn't exist, being quite sarcastic about the Bilderberg meeting, despite the fact that they put out their own list last year of attendees, despite the fact that it's been reported on throughout the mainstream media, despite the fact that we have now hundreds of videos and photographs of members going in and out of the meeting, and the actual paperwork, the actual documentation that they're the ones behind the European Union and the Euro long before it ever occurred. The admittance of members like Antoine Devinier. But no, it doesn't exist. I'm flying out to Athens for no reason at all, to have a holiday I don't deserve and can't really afford. Maybe catch a little sunstroke, grab some food poisoning, and come home. Pointless. Unless, of course, the rumors are true. Unless, as a handful of people are saying, a handful of people. No, 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 I'm sorry, sir. It's in the millions now. Millions of us now know that the Bilderberg meets once a year, and they do, let me say this again, they do discuss and decide policy. That's what they're there for. Unless as a handful of people are saying this weekend is Bilderberg, which it is, the yearly alignment of the distant stars that shape our destiny. A long weekend at a luxury hotel where the world's elite get to shake hands, clink glasses, fine-tune their global agenda, and squabble over who gets the best sun loungers. I'm guessing that Henry Kissinger brings his own, has it helicoptered, and is guarded 24-7 by a CIA special ops team. You see how this is all sarcastic? It's all a big joke. Ha 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 ha. Oh, Henry Kissinger, he's the nicest guy in the world. Yeah, we'll talk about CIA black ops when it's guarding, you know, something frivolous for Henry Kissinger, but we won't talk about the CIA black ops of the 1970s where they released African swine virus on the Cuban population. Now, let's not talk about that. It's ridiculous. If it's all happening at all, Kissinger will be there. Yes, he will. David Rockefeller will be there. Yes, he will be there. Presidents of banks and chairmen of boards, the Ben Bernankes and Condoleezza Rices of this world. Yes, no, they will all be here. I guarantee you that. Heads of oil companies, media magnates, the Queen of the Netherlands, and Peter Mandelson. Probably Bernanke, possibly David Cameron. Politicians and financiers from all five corners of the globe. Don't let them tell you there are four. And me. So, you know, this guy making huge jokes that, you know, he's going to Bilderberg, but there's really no reason to go because it doesn't exist. Nothing's going on.
And the bankers aren't stealing everything we got.
Yeah, and they're not. And the Federal Reserve's not saying, $9 trillion? What? Me worry? gone. Poof, just gone. It's outlandish and outrageous. Let me repeat, outlandish and outrageous. I arrived last night under the cover of darkness. See, this guy is writing it like a bad noir, you know, spy novel with tongue in cheek, so you won't take the Bilderberg Group seriously. See, now the mainstream media will continue to report on it, but it's good thing it's not in the United States, because of course we would have a crack team there. We'd be all over it. We'd be blowing it up on the web. But I mean, there's so much other stuff to discuss. H.R. 2159, where they're trying to strip literally everybody of gun rights because they put everybody on these DHS lists. That's what this is for. We're not talking about, you know, H.R. 1966, the Cyberbullying Act, where you're not going to be able to hurt anybody's feelings on the web anymore. You better watch what you type on IM, folks. It could get dangerous. It could get very Al-Qaeda-like very quickly when you're typing to your friend on IM. Don't joke around. You might hurt their feelings. You'll do some hard time for some light typing. I promise you that. All right, let's jump to phone calls. Let's go to Rob in California. Rob, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. Can you hear
me? How you doing? Yes, sir.
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good.
First of all, let me say I'm a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv, so, you know, I appreciate the hard work that you and Alex do there.
Thank you, man.
All right. Considering you were talking about the swine flu today again, I haven't heard you or Alex cover. You remember the little baby from Texas that died?
Yeah.
Okay. According to an article from the AP, if you want to get the headline for that, is first U.S. swine flu victim was born to wealth.
Okay.
This kid's grandfather is like this big media mogul in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And he used to own like UPI back in the 80s.
Okay.
So the thing that's interesting about this is that, remember the archaeologist in Mexico that died after Obama went there?
I don't quite remember that one, but was he one of the first swine flu cases?
His name was Felipe Solis.
Okay.
Okay, so that guy was, he was the one that showed the Obama, you know, all those delegates that went down there, something about the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid's grandfather, his brother, so the kid's great uncle, was also at the dinner there.
So you're saying there's a lot of connections to this child and the media and power, and, you know, he maybe have just been used as a tool of propaganda because of who he was.
Or either that, or, you know, they could have probably tried to release the virus down there.
The virus had to be released somewhere, folks. I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, obviously, you know, they said, oh, it started in Mexico at first. And then they said, oh, there's no pigs with swine flu in Mexico. Then they said, oh, it's over in Canada. They quarantined people in China. They said it was big time breaking out in the United States. They say there's 2,500 cases in the United States, but I ain't seen a one. So I am just taking everything I see about the swine flu in the media with a grain of salt. I thank you for the call, Rob. Let's go to David in New Jersey. David, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
And by the way, yeah, there is an echo. It's weird. Please don't hit the hang up button because.
all right. I got you, brother.
Stage fright. You know, this is a important show. I mean, every show is important, but I'm wondering if there's a place to download today's show or something. I know there's.
Yeah. Tomorrow you'll be able to go to theinfowarrior.com. The podcast is on the left hand side. You can get the whole thing. That gentleman that called earlier, Mark in Wisconsin, is trying to
you
upload
have your own.
Well, our YouTube
you have your own
channel.
Separate podcast now?
What's that?
You have your own separate podcast now?
Sorry. Yeah. You go to theinfowarrior.com. The podcast is on the left-hand side. It's okay. Under all the stuff, and you get it the next day. Or if you miss anything right now and before the podcast is released, you can go to gcnlive.com and listen to the entire program on demand for 24 hours until I air the next one. So, you know, we do that, and then this new 7 whatever, I can't remember what the website is, but I have it embedded over at theinfowarrior.com, my show from Monday. The whole thing is available all 3 hours. A 7 pound, I think it is, .com. This guy's going to start uploading everything, so it'll be our new YouTube, I guess. And I'd like to say this. Even so, Alex Jones is in the featured top 100 videos, despite YouTube banning him, with his, I think it's his 2 hour interview with David Icke that someone posted on video.google.com. So we are finding ways around the ban. Anything else, David?
Two things. Back when you were talking about the provocateurs, I mean, especially the guy who got caught wearing the boots just like all the other cops.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's amazing. Plus, are you kidding me? The Bilderberg group does exist. I mean, Alex got them on camera while they were walking into the buildings with his high-definition camera. I mean, it's not even high-definition.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And this guy wants to make it into a bad spy novel. I thank you for the call, David. Let's jump to Travis in South Carolina. The number is 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. Go ahead, Travis.
Yes, how you doing, Jason?
Good.
I heard earlier today about, you know, the action that was taken on the InfoWarriors account on YouTube.
Yes.
And, you know, I was sitting there, I was thinking, one of the things that you guys can try to put out to try to get more people that are already aware of you guys following you on YouTube, mm-hmm. Tell them to subscribe to the tag of Alex Jones, maybe like subscribe to the tag of the InfoWarrior, and people who come and post their videos, like, you know, people like, well, I'm not really going to put them out there, but they can just put in Alex Jones or the InfoWarrior in a tag, so mm-hmm. when the videos get taken down, people who repost them can get them because they're subscribed to the tags.
Well, we're asking everybody, and, you know, I posted over at the InfoWarrior yesterday a list of 15 other sites that we can upload our program to, and we want those videos to go viral. They can't take us off the net altogether. What they're trying to do is take us off the one internet phenomenon video website, which is YouTube, which is supposed to be user-based, and they've been pretty successful at getting massive channels out there off. However, third parties that are just, you know, posting our stuff sporadically are still up there. But I'm pretty upset that, you know, a few hundred of my videos are down and a few thousand of Alex's are down. It's more than a damn shame. You know, it's violating our First Amendment. It shows they want to lock down the internet. It shows we're having an effect. It shows they don't want this kind of news out there. It definitely shows they don't want this voice or perspective to get out to the masses. I mean, it's absolutely insane. I thank you for the call, Travis. I mean, yeah, it is ludicrous to say that maybe the Bilderberg Group's meeting and maybe the Bilderberg Group exists and maybe they're planning world domination. No, this is a group that openly gets together. They said it was a golf club for the longest time. You know, they have talks. They have documentation on the things that they're talking about. They openly say, I mean, Enyon Devanier says, yeah, you know, we're the ones who brought you the euro. We're the Bilderberg Group. We do what we want. And remember, this is 125, 144 of the world elite. Well, Bohemian Grove is coming up later in the summer, and we'll have 3,000 of the world elite there. And the agenda will be dispersed, and it will be done in a compartmentalized fashion. More on that on the other side. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis. I got to just keep reading this article because this guy is coming off as, oh, the Bilderberg Group is really hokey and I'm only here because I want to make a big old joke ski and hutch out of it. I arrived last night under the cover of darkness. I told the cab driver to stop 50 meters from the hotel. He asked why. I couldn't tell him that it was so I could case the entrance for the FBI lenses. I simply muttered that I couldn't explain. His eyes lit up. Aha, I see, I know. What did he know? And who is that following us? A man in a BMW. Definite spook. Get a grip. The driver drops me on a dark corner of the Athenian Riviera. I'm sorry. The Athenian Riviera. Pats me on the shoulder and says, "You want to smoke some dope?" I decline. This story's got everything. Hunting down the Bilderberg group and getting offered a little potsky and hush from the cabbie. I need my senses sharp. I scurry into the hotel, glancing into parked cars, looking for vans with mirrored windows. There aren't any. At reception, they seem to have lost my booking. The tentacles of the Bilderberg reach far. But eventually I get checked in, go upstairs, unpack, have a shower, go downstairs, step outside, look across the street, and realize I've scurried into the wrong hotel. This is who Bilderberg are up against. An embarrassing hour later, I set out again from the right for the right hotel, determined to find the location where Bilderberg is said to be happening. Get some early photos, maybe see Hillary Clinton arrive. Although I'll settle for Ken Clark. It's getting late, joggers are out, FBI, Secret Service, almost certainly. I trudge on, determined. After about a half an hour, I realize I turned the wrong way out of my hotel, and I am walking up a deserted coastline towards Athens. I go back to bed. Another troubled night for Bilderberg. I mean, folks, this is about nothing. This is about the journey of something I can't say, that I want to say but I won't say on air. It's another J word. The journey of a blank off, really. That's what this is. Okay, this so far, he's showed us nothing. He's done no investigative journalism. He can't, you know, even book the right hotel, and he's cracking jokes about it. At breakfast, a heavyset man with hairy forearms sits opposite me and fiddles with the mobile phone. Definite spook. See, everybody's a definite spook in here. The Secret Service is good. The CIA protects Henry Kissinger, and it's all a black op joke. He eats a hard-boiled egg and watches me struggling with my Cocoa Puffs. My first discovery of the day is to find out what happens to Cocoa Puffs when they let sit for a decade in a Greek presentation dish. They turn to gravel. Now we're joking about Cocoa Puffs in a Guardian piece about the Bilderberg Group. The spook leaves before me. He got what he came for, a photo of me, sneaked onto his mobile and wired to Quantico in Virginia. And a hard-boiled egg. Outside, it's a beautiful day. The air smells of sun and seashells, and there's no sign of a global cabal meeting anywhere near. I have to wander. From my meager third-room internet forum sources, see, it's... Oh, I got it off the internet. It can't be true. Remember, Bilderberg doesn't start till tomorrow, folks. It's May 14th to the 17th, and this was published today by The Guardian. I think I know the hotel where Bilderberg is happening, the Astor Palace Resort. Further from my hotel than it looked on Google Maps, note to self, always check the scale on the Zoom. I mean, everything is a huge joke to this guy. A dozen promontories and dusty dead-end letters later, I'm ready to give up. It's too hot. I don't have the sun hat. The world is going to hell, and Voulagemi is full of litter. I have no idea what that means. What is it with Greeks and bins? Do they not see them? Do they not believe they exist? Hidden in plain sight. It's Bilderberg way. It's hot. I need some water. I mean, this is like a bad Frank Miller comic book. Like a really bad Frank Miller. Like a Dave Milner comic book, I guess. Bilderberg's nemesis, journalist Jim Tucker. And then on the pavement ahead, there he was. I recognized him from the videos. The braces, the loose shirt, the grizzle. The tattered leather briefcase packed with dark secrets. It was the doyen of Bilderberg Hunters himself, Jim Tucker. I addressed him, "Excuse me, Mr. Tucker. Let's go into the hotel and talk." Tucker is a man in a hurry. He's not getting any younger, and his old enemy Bilderberg is getting stronger. We're going to finish up with this huge hit piece on the other side. It's the InfoWord with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. still going to finish up this article. And then we're going to jump to your calls, 866-582-9933. Only a couple more paragraphs left of this real disgusting hit piece, which is really just total filler. No real issues covered. No real points made. Jokes about Cocoa Puffs and CIA Black Ops. That's what The Guardian gives you when they give you Bilderberg. Tucker is a man in a hurry. He's not getting any younger. And his old enemy, Bilderberg, is getting stronger. Hot enough for you, I venture? Too hot for a fat boy, he growls. And Tucker does have that raspy voice. The exchange makes me feel like a resistance fighter exchanging code words. Assured of my credentials, Tucker gestures me into his hotel lobby. I can't believe my luck. Suddenly, I'm not alone. I'm not hallucinating. Bilderberg is here. Where you find Jim Tucker, you know Bilderberg isn't far away. He's a herring gull telling me there are whales beneath. Tucker lights a non-filtered cigarette, lays his hat upon the table, and settles back into the lobby sofa to talk. And apparently, let's see, Charlie Skelton will be filing regular updates from Athens until he is arrested by shadowy figures in dark glasses. So let's see what we get tomorrow. That'll be interesting. I mean, this was a total fluff hit piece on the entire movement. Let's see how much more he can really just rape us in our mouths. Thank you, Charlie Nonsense. Johnny Nonsense's cousin. I got a couple looks right there from the board ops. Apparently, I went a little too far. I know that the main story in the media right now is that Obama didn't release those photos he said he was going to of torture, and that Dick Cheney is out there saying, we're going to get struck. We're not that safe from terror. This administration's screwing us over. That is WWE politics. It's like a wrestling script. Okay? We read you the articles from 2004, 5 years ago, 5 years ago, when they revealed that they had children being raped on tape from Guantanamo Bay. I don't need any more pictures. I don't need to see the video. Okay? It happened. That is disgusting. That is vile. That is beyond what the majority of the populace thinks happened there. And probably continues to happen. So all this media hype surrounding photographs and Dick Cheney and the Obama administration is just that, hype. All right, let's go to Mark. Oh, nope, he dropped. Let's go to Ryan in Kentucky. Ryan, you're on the line.
Hey, how are you doing, Jason?
Good.
Have you happened to read the news about how Obama's wanting to pick Janet Napolitano possibly as a Supreme Court justice?
I've got the article in front of me. Hold on one second. She's one of six people that he is thrown on the list. I think Hillary Clinton is also on there, if people don't know by now. Janet Napolitano is the current head of, what is it, Homeland Security? She's DHS, right?
Yes, Jason.
So it's Obama has more than six people for the court. A source tells the Associated Press that President Barack Obama is California Supreme Court Justice. Carlos Moreno and more than five other people as nominees for the Supreme Court. Let's see, we got Jennifer Granholm, Janet Napolitano, General, see, some of this is cut off, by the way. It's actually, man, I can't get a print right on these damn computers. I'm going nuts. But yes, Janet Napolitano is one of the six that he's openly talking about now. And wouldn't that be great if she was a Supreme Court justice, seeing as she really just wants to demonize every American citizen as an extremist or terrorist or both? Go ahead.
I know when I read that on my lunch break, I was almost sickened knowing what those reports were, and she could be deciding what is constitutional and what's not.
Yeah, no, and the Supreme, you know, it's like the Supreme Court at this point doesn't even care about the Constitution, doesn't care about the Bill of Rights. I mean, we've got judges in Wisconsin saying it's okay for police officers to put a GPS tracking device on someone's car, track and trace them, and not have a warrant for it. It's insanity.
I have one last thing. Tomorrow night on Rachel Maddow at 9 p.m., Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son, is making a major announcement. Hopefully, it'll be an announcement that he will be running for U.S. Senate.
Well, that'll be excellent. And if Rand Paul is going to be running for U.S. Senate, hopefully we can get him on the program and really discuss that, not only with him, but his campaign. Oh, look at this. I'm sorry. I'm just getting a a nice little tidbit article. We'll be going over that if it happens, and it probably is if he's going to make a major announcement on Maddow. Hopefully, they're also going to be reaching out to the left. You know, let's see what happens, and let's see the attacks roll. Let's see Glenn Beck turn on us all, because I can see that happening. Thank you for the call. So let's see. We went over this story, but I'm getting this story right here. Judge in sex case gets 3 years. A disgraceful federal judge was sentenced yesterday for nearly 3 years in prison for lying to investigators about sexually abusing two female employees. See, a lot of these people are scum. This isn't even as scummy as it gets. What are you pointing at there? Dude, just come in with some headphones. Come on in. No, we're going to talk to Dude. We don't have any guests today. Sit down. We got his mic hot. So what did this guy do? Just a couple of women? That's pretty odd, though. You know, usually the judges, the senators, the congressmen, they're not into the ladies.
Yeah, that's true. Usually it's little boys. my sister was actually she used to work at a restaurant, and there was an old one-arm judge in the town that when you saw, he's like, hit her on the butt. You
know? Really? And this is the guy?
No, it's not the same guy. I wouldn't be surprised. But, yeah, so, you know, that's pretty interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not seeing this all over the place. This is in Philadelphia?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. He's not getting it for doing those types of actions to the women and being sexually abusive. He's getting it for lying to investigators about it. And
oh.
They could have given him 20 and they gave him 3.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, he won't even do 3. He'll be lucky to do 12 months.
18 months, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think he'll do 18 months. I've seen people get 5 years and do 1 year in prison, and then they do a couple years work release or on probation. Right. I mean, he is a judge, so I'm sure he has connections. You know, we can only hope that street justice gets him in the slammer. Oh, I said it. Oh, Jason Burmis is controversial. He wants street justice for the judge.
Are you a judgist?
All right, Dew. I thank you for the spot, my man. Late night, Rob Dew. See, we work hard in this office. We do have fun. But we work especially hard. How can we not work hard when The Guardian is making huge jokes about the Bilderberg Group? All right, let's jump to Joe in North Carolina. Joe, you're on the air. Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mr. Burmis?
Good.
You and Alex have to be the Batman and Robin of the airwaves.
Oh, man, are you telling me I'm in, like, little green tights? That's tough. And a mask? I mean, hey, I hear you. I like the Batman and Robin as a kid, but the outfit is just outlandish.
Yeah. But you guys are the dynamic duo, truth, justice, and the American way.
Thank you, brother. What else you got for me?
Well, I was just going to comment on that little op-ed Bilderberg piece.
Mm-hmm.
It was so moving, I had to go to the bathroom. I mean, that article was, I mean, that should be used for birdcage liner.
It's ridiculous. I mean, everything's a joke. Everything's a rumor. CIA black ops do trivial things for Henry Kissinger. And, I mean, his Cocoa Puffs are a main line in the story. Everybody's a spook. Then he goes and he meets Jim Tucker and he starts making fun of him off the bat. And then he's like, oh, wait, by the way, Bilderberg is here. Oh.
It is. That's totally disgusting.
It really is.
But, anyway, I wish you and Alex would get together and generate a list of everybody in the Bilderberg Group, the CFR, the whole nine yards, and expose all the crud and scum that's out there.
Well, you know what? That list is really openly available. If you go to the CFR website, they have profiles for everybody. Recently, as everybody knows now, we did this little short Aaron Russo film based on the interview and a couple other videos that we had with Aaron from a few years back. And, of course, Aaron always talked about Nicholas Rockefeller and say, you know, his membership in the CFR and his friendship to him. Well, Aaron was able to hunt down a hardcover book by the CFR with a chapter by Nicholas Rockefeller dedicated to globalism, just so we could check that and confirm it. Yeah, these guys are everywhere. The CFR does exist. The Bilderberg Group does exist. Globalism is a reality. The New World Order is part of that. And, I mean, I know it's funny to some people, but it's not funny to me when the Federal Reserve just stole $9 trillion. It's really more than that. But they're saying, $9 trillion? We don't know where it is. You get to pay for it. And then they write articles like this. I thank you for the call, my man. Let's go to John in Canada. John, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's another day for battling evil, though, for sure. So I'm going to I'm not going to give you a hard time, but I'm going to play a Christ advocate in defense of everybody over at Bilderberg. Examples. You know, if Bilderberg did do 9/11, the first thing, likely, as a good strategy, is to have you or anybody else in the NWO movement blame Bilderberg, because we can't form a warrant for arrest. You know, Bilderberg is not an individual. There's a lot of people there, like the bartender, who we can't establish is guilty of any criminal offense just yet.
Sure, but I don't think we would actually advocate the arrest of the bartender. I think you would advocate the arrest of those who are on the official list to attend the meeting, those in the actual rooms, not people who work in the hotel, because the Bilderberg group moves around. Go ahead.
Okay. Second, if anybody, no matter who it is who did 9/11, if we want to arrest any of them, we're going to have to open criminal investigations that were closed officially by Cheney and Bush.
Well, that's why I think the first people that you need to indict for the criminal act is Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney can be indicted on the testimony of Norman Mineta before the 9/11 commission, that he was indeed in the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. He did know that the plane or whatever was coming into the Pentagon, and he did give an order right before the plane hit the Pentagon, instructing basically the guy to stand down, because we know that nobody in the Pentagon actually got a warning of this object, yet they're aware of it in the PEOC. And then they changed the timeline in the 9/11 commission report to say that Cheney wasn't there until 9:52, when his own testimony in early news reports puts him there before the Pentagon attack. So my thing is, all right, if we're going to actually open up a criminal investigation and a new commission or whatever, the first person that we go after is Dick Cheney, and he should have to tell the truth to us, the people, we the people. And if this thing is ever formed, I would hope that it would be actual 9/11 family members that had the power of subpoena and not bureaucrats that are just going to cover it up anyway. Go ahead.
Well, like you said, that's good enough right there to form a warrant, what you just said. Also, the fact that they've closed investigations is obstruction. We don't have to argue it any further in front of any legitimate judge. Cheney and Bush would be immediately arrested, but we can do this. Who would disagree with this, Burmese? These are our fears. You know, we're fearful of what we don't understand, so we don't lay blame directly at those who are truly responsible, because we're fearful of the consequences. But you're doing an outstanding job. You know, it could be even better if on Coast to Coast they wouldn't downgrade you or never have you on, or say just a couple of days ago encouraging listeners to go read popular science on 9/11.
Well, who did that? Art Bell or George Norrie? It was probably Art Bell, right?
It's Ian Punnett. And he's done it more than once, and he can't. I don't understand how he can get away with that. If there's only 10 people out there that are fans of yourself and are truly committed to justice, get on there and say, look, we need to arrest those who are responsible for 9/11. They've closed investigations. Whoever did it is getting away for sure. Now, this is what's crucial with Cheney today. Cheney says you have to torture defenseless, innocent families, some of them to death, because he's truly concerned for your life and getting those who did us wrong on 9/11 back in New York City. But he closed his
total lie. Yeah, no, I'm with you 110%, man, especially on the Cheney point. I mean, Cheney coming out and accusing this administration of they're going to allow another terrorist attack. Meanwhile, this administration is torturing just like the last one. They didn't really close down anything. If they are going to close down Guantanamo Bay, which they're saying they can't do because of budget reasons, they don't have the funding to do it, they're just going to move these people to other black sites where, again, they are torturing, they are raping, they are breaking the law. I'm with you, man. I hope one day we will see Cheney brought before a court and let us flesh out the investigation. Yeah. I don't have the power of subpoena. I'm not a district attorney. You know what I mean? I'm not a state DA. One day, maybe.
Well, I've talked to a number of prosecutors. I mean, we could do this tomorrow. You know, we just have to have the will to encourage others to demand the same respect for any individual out there that has a concern for surviving. We don't want to die as indiscriminate murder victims so Cheney and the boys can profit off our deaths, being unrepresented. These people aren't elected. We say they're elected, but listen, Ron Paul's got lots of good things going for him, okay, but look, Elizabeth Warren is the head cop for the TARP funds, the Congressional Oversight Panel. She says they're committing criminal fraud today. She was on Jon Stewart. She was on Rachel Maddow. You're only getting 60 cents for every dollar you're spending, and it's a criminal fraud. This is where Ron Paul should be, but he's not. Just like you said, I think it was your show. Or maybe
I would say this, but Ron Paul is trying to audit the Fed, and he does have a lot of supporters on that bill. So if he's able to get that one piece of legislation through, I think that's a huge triumph, and I think it's along the lines of what you want to see, my friend. I'm going to have to drop you, get to the next caller. I thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Jessica in Georgia. Jessica, you're on the line.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I saw this article on the front page of my local paper at Samaria Daily Journal, and I guess it says former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, he delivered the keynote speech during the Commission on North American Prosperity Public Forum at University. Yeah, which I don't, you know, I wish I would have known that was going on because I would have been down there. But but it's the first line. Former Mexican President Vicente Fox pushed Tuesday for a forming of a union between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Fox is, you know, and it goes on to
doesn't exist. State. North American Union doesn't exist. SPP doesn't exist. Yeah, doesn't right. matter. The Vicente Fox told Luke Radowski on camera he was in favor of a North American Union and was upset that the progress was going so slow. Doesn't matter. Doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's crazy. I wasn't surprised really, but it's crazy to see it on the front page here. And the quote, it's funny, the quote that's right here by his picture. I want a better future for North America. The dreams of our founding fathers will be fulfilled with freedom and better distribution of wealth.
Oh.
You know, in the article.
It's their founding fathers. Well, see, that's the real problem, Jessica. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you're a racist. You want to close the borders. I don't want to merge with Mexico any more than I want to merge with Canada. And it doesn't even really have anything to do with the people. It has to do with their laws and their process of laws and the fact that we're going to lose our sovereignty here in the United States and our Constitution and Bill of Rights. There will be new international regulatory committees. And again, we will surrender our freedoms as Americans, as being from the United States. And that's the big problem. And they just come out and say, we need it. We need a better distribution of wealth. And by the way, I don't want my government to be so we're outwardly corrupt. We're very bad. But Mexico's government is even more outwardly corrupt and the people suffer even more down there. And, you know, you talk to Canadians that are in the know, and like they say, it's like a soft Soviet Union up there. The people are brainwashed. Sure, they're taken care of. And again, it's a light tyranny, but it's a tyranny nonetheless. I thank you for the call, Jessica. We're going to go to Mark and others. The call line is 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. On the other side, I'm going to be talking about this policing pledge, and it's basically this whole thing. How to make a promise to tattle on your neighbors. It's a great thing. I think it's out in the UK and it's got the nice little outfit and everybody's smiling and happy and it's know your rights. Help us defend freedom by tattling on your neighbors. Take the policing pledge. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're going to cover this policing pledge in a moment, but I want to thank another one of my sponsors, my great sponsors out there, MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com. You want to get off the grid. You want 1,800 watts of energy. You want a generator that works if the power goes out. MySolarBackup.com is the place to go. 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. It's solutions from science. MySolarBackup.com. This is the real deal, folks. I mean, even growing up as a kid, back when the technology wasn't that great, my friend's father used to heat his pool entirely from solar panels. So MySolarBackup.com, like I said, 1,800 watts of power. Go check it out. All right, let's jump to Mark in Oregon. The call in line is 866-582-9933. Go ahead, Mark.
Jason, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
Jason, you know, I guess I'm just kind of stuck in a kind of a time warp here relative to, you know, starting about 3 weeks ago up to as we speak in the present time. Excuse me. It seems to me that this is just so real at the time in my experience. You know, I felt like they were getting ready to basically hand out the mandatory vaccinations. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was going to be the full-fledged poisoning of America right there.
The media hyped it up that way. I mean, you look at this cover of this Newsweek, Fear and the Flu. You look at the way the media reported it. They put it to pandemic level 5. They talked about the mandatory vaccinations. It was ABC News that was talking about Executive Order 13375. And then it all of a sudden just started kind of reeling back and reeling back. And they tried for the longest time to hype it up. 2,500 cases in the United States, you know, 2 deaths in the United States. But I don't think the people bought it. And on top of that, I don't think that they were ready to hand out the mandatory vaccinations, or they didn't feel like the people were ready to roll up their arms and take them. I really think that we're going to see a resurgence of this during flu season, and we might actually see some real deaths here. What I think is the most interesting is now that they're saying, you know, this probably did come out of a lab, but it was an accident. That's the next part of the spin.
Well, when I think about the, you know, the repercussions if they go ahead and they release a flu virus or viruses that are very deadly in themselves, that instill a fear in people when people look around and see what, you know, how sick and dying people are around them, that could very well, you know, make the difference between whether somebody would take the vaccination or not before they were in the midst of death of their fellow human beings, basically. I think they basically extrapolate this out into different scenarios, and knowing human psychology and having, you know, people who are very well versed in human psychology on their side analyzing various scenarios, they feel they can have a success this way. And I really, you know, that's my fear. You know, it kind of goes, I don't fear it, but I'm just extremely concerned about it when Janet Napolitano said that this one wouldn't be too bad, but she didn't leave any doubt that there would be a worse one coming in the fall and the flu season, like you say.
Well, I think we have to remain very aware. We've got a few months in between. We have to make more people aware of this swine flu hoax. We have to make them aware about the story we just broke today, that in 1971, the CIA let off a sister virus in Cuba, the African swine virus. You know, again, a bioweapons attack by U.S. intelligence. Oh, it doesn't exist, Jason. I thank you for the call, Mark. We're going to go to Jake, Rick, and others on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
And I can't help but wonder, no Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing and dying, it was all done in vain. Oh, Willie McBride, it all happened again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
All right, folks, we are back. We're going to go to Jake, Rick, and Zsa Zsa in a moment. But I want to read this policing pledge document. This is out of England. What the pledge does, the policing pledge is a set of promises to local residents that not only gives more information about who their local neighborhood policing team is, but also ensures the communities will have a stronger voice in telling the police what they think is the most important and what they are most worried about. Total tattletale squad. Can we bring up the link, Jaron? We've got it over on the side there. I sent it to you. We're looking for the it's campaigns.direct.gov.uk/policing pledge. The policing pledge makes a number of promises on how your local police will work with you to help resolve your concerns. It also sets standards of the kind of service you can expect. Your local police force will deal with emergencies and non-emergencies within certain agreed times. And if you've been a victim of a crime, will agree with you how often and for how long you will be kept informed of the progress of your case. See, you join the police, they're going to let you know what's happening with your case. We need your help. All police forces across the whole of England and Wales have signed up to provide the same level of service to their communities. This means that it will be easier to have your say in how they police your local area and guarantees that wherever you live, you can expect the same high level of service. See, the Bobby with the lady, oh, we're here to help. Wherever you live, you can get the following information by searching for your neighborhood policing team. Contact details of your neighborhood policing tales. Details of your next neighborhood policing meeting. See, there's meetings for the citizens. Your neighborhood priorities. Action being taken by the police and follow-up to problems raised by the community. Local crime statistics, information, and crime maps. See, crime maps only available with the help of those lovely citizens. And how you can get involved to make your community safer. It goes on. There's a whole PDF. There's the Policing Pledge PDF. It's just, it's out of control. Also, another story I wanted to cover. Yesterday I talked about this this body of this guy who apparently buried himself after he killed his wife and two others and then himself. Yeah, somehow he buried himself. Now they're saying, oh, he was only half buried. See, the story is starting to change already. He was found in a deeply wooded area, but only half buried. A very suspicious story. I don't exactly know where it's going except for this Georgia professor was probably into something that got him killed. I find it very hard to believe that this guy was into this intricate murder of his wife, two other people, and then himself, and found a way to bury himself. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that this guy somehow killed and buried himself. Maybe I'm off my rocker. Maybe he did it. I mean, that seems like a pretty dedicated guy to go knock three people off. And then I just can't live with myself, but I must find a way to bury my body. doesn't quite add up. All right, we're going to go to calls on the other side. We're also going to talk about these four people who were arrested for having toy guns. Remember, the story yesterday was 15-year-old with toy gun points at the police, gets shot, and then arrested. I mean, they cuffed him after they realized it was a toy gun and he's bleeding to death. Well, they'll just arrest four other people shooting a movie. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes back after these messages. The InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes, final hour on this Wednesday, May 13th, 2009. Let's go to Jake in Minnesota. Jake, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for all the listeners and what everybody does here. I have one story to report, and then I'm going to also add my poetic side to the debate here, I guess, whatever. So I'm in the Minnesota area, so the title is Sleepy-Eyed Mom, Teen to Defy Court Order against Chemotherapy for this kid. And doctors are taking him to court because they're saying he's going to likely die without the chemotherapy, and the mother and even the child is willingly refusing therapy.
Mm-hmm. It should be their choice. I mean, he should be able to go with alternative methods other than chemotherapy. I mean, why dose yourself with all this radiation? Go check out, you know, G. Edward Griffin's lecture, A World Without Cancer.
Right, right, exactly. So, well, I'll have my poem, and then I'll just go from here, and thanks for showing stuff. So,
you got it.
Conspiracy theories all around, some lost, many are found. The magnitude makes your head pound. The answers are all around the corner. The corner, it's the edge that I keep. I hold the blade so others can sleep. Plants were growing while you were ignoring. Now you reap the products of your snoring. Now it's time to wake up, wide-eyed, ready to teach. Many fish in the water and only one leech. Open your mind out and reach. We're close once more through the breach.
All right, Jake, thank you for the call. Let's go to Rick in California. Rick, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, dog?
How you doing, sir?
Good. Am I on yet? Is this Jason?
This is Jason, and you are on. Yes, sir.
Hey, bro, look, I mailed you like four times yesterday. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. The two other things are I have like over 100 videos. I was collecting chemtrails videos off of YouTube starting from February 2008.
Uh-huh.
So on my YouTube page, I got blocked out. I can't get in there anymore, but they didn't take it away entirely. There's a playlist been removed and whatnot, mm-hmm. but there's still like 200 videos from all around the world. It's at YouTube.com, Nosyologist.
Okay.
That's Nosyologist. And then, I'm trying to make it quick, bro, but, the third thing is I mailed you a couple DVDs. If you get a chance to look at them, I'm trying to say that, I'm like an educator.
Okay.
I
haven't gotten
mind.
Any. Listen, I got to tell you, Rick, I haven't got any physical DVDs yet from anybody, so I'll be on the lookout for them. I obviously take everything that gets mailed to the P.O. box and hand it to me. I mean, somebody recently, and by the way, I thank you for the call. Somebody recently sent me When Will Jesus Pass the Pork Chops by George Carlin. Although I haven't read it, it's over on my desk right now. I think the same person sent me the Illuminati card game. And I did an entire show on the Illuminati card game, even though, you know, again, it was only, I think, 50 or so cards, and there was many, many more. All right, let's jump to Zsa Zsa in New York. Zsa Zsa, you're on the line.
Hey, what's crack-a-lackin', Jason?
How you doing?
Good. First of all, I'm really feeling bad for you guys about that YouTube takedown. It's a real breach of our freedom of speech, you know, and I believe that you guys were hitting very hard with that swine flu hoax. Mm-hmm. And you were hitting a lot of chords, and you were obviously coming up with some kind of a you must have been speaking the truth somewhere along the lines. You must have hit on almost all the truths, and they couldn't deal with it, and you know it was getting way mainstream. And you know what? I hope more people get Prison Planet TV memberships because of this, and then eventually, you know, you guys will get even bigger. Mm-hmm. You know.
We're hoping the same thing, but at the same time, you know, we are looking to try to challenge YouTube and Google, get our channels back, and then on top of that, maybe build a second-tier system with another video network so that they can't have a monopoly on this type of information.
Do it all, and you know what's going to happen is that anybody that you guys go to, you'll be blessing. I mean, it's your blessing to have InfoWars videos uploaded on a consistent basis, because that means their readership is going to go way up. So it's a win-win for you guys, because it obviously made you look like more truth than to all the haters and all the disbelievers that are always saying, you know, bogus stuff, that you guys are in the, you know, New World Order yourselves. You know, it just goes and proves the case even stronger, and a lot of people are fighting for this on the underground, you know, and a lot of other blog sites where, you know, we're shooting it down, so it's giving you guys more power. But, you know, I just wanted to say the other day, you know, I had Greenpeace out my neighborhood. The first hot day,
mm-hmm.
it was swarming all over Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighborhood in Fort Greene is the wrong place to be standing there screaming about global warming, because you have every beatnik, loudmouth rebel, you know, that's laughing at them. And I stepped to them and I spoke to them, and I, you know, right there I had a crowd of my friends, you know, giving them the whole two-bit, why don't you try to get the chemtrails down? And I was talking to them about Al Gore, and they were saying, you know, we have nothing to do with Al Gore. We're here, and we really believe in global warming, and we believe on the cap-and-trade system. But the cap-and-trade system is what Al Gore believes. So, I mean, everything about what's the deal about Greenpeace? Could you know? Do you have any kind of insight?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, and I thank you for the call, is featured in the BBC documentary, The Great Global Warming Swindle. And I guess he didn't enjoy what the other guy was all about. And he openly says, you know, a lot of these people that are really involved in Greenpeace, they are simply trust fund kids that don't know what they want to do in life. They think they're doing the right thing, and they're ready to latch on to any other cause. And then scientists feel like their backs are up against the wall because if they don't promote a certain scientific philosophy, then their funding is cut. And by the way, Rob Dew has now joined us. As I speak of the Illuminati cards, he walks in, and if we can get a camera on Rob, what did we just get, four or five more decks?
Yeah, I think we have the complete set now.
Do we have the complete set? Well, right now, you know, as Zsa Zsa was talking about Al Gore, if you had the PrisonPlanet.tv, there's the Al Gore Illuminati card. Here is the cable TV. Here's the charismatic leader cards. The phony anarchy cards.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Secrets Man Was Not Meant to Know. Folks, we're going to have to do just a whole nother episode tomorrow on this. I'll go through all these other cards, pick out a bunch more on top of the ones that we did beforehand. We got to get Steve Jackson in here, don't we?
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, here's the Hussein card. this stuff is just wild, folks. And, you know, the New World Order, Illuminati cards are just, you know, they're beyond prophetic. Yeah, is there some goofy stuff in there? Sure, there's some goofy stuff in there. But then again, a lot of these elite people believe in a lot of this goofy stuff, and it's hard for me to even report on because people are like, what are you talking about? Here's the United Nations card right there. United Nations, big time. The Voodooistas. Again, black magic. Hey, I wish they didn't believe in black magic, my man. All right, let's go to Papillon in Nebraska. Papillon, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason. I know you're doing well. I'm doing well. I wish people stopped wasting our time asking and all that all the time. Anyway, real quick, I sent Aaron and Rob D. a couple of different emails. One, I have a YouTube account that you guys are welcome to use. It's not a director's account, you know, limited 10-minute clips, but I sent them my logon name and password if you guys want to double up on your uploads and, you know, just get one more outlet out there. Also, I sent a reminder, and Alex had it on his show, a caller called in, I believe he was a pastor, mentioned the word warning is an acronym, and it's going to be great to go on T-shirts. Warning, we are really now in Nazi Germany.
I think we're beyond Nazi Germany because Nazi Germany didn't have any kind of technology that was even dreamt of that we have and put into place. I mean, when they say that, you know, the United Kingdom and the United States are number 5 and 6 in surveillance and infrastructure for a big brother police state, I have to disagree. They're number 1 and 2. You know, again, if we were talking about human rights, then yeah, maybe China and North Korea would be number 2, but I don't think they have the infrastructure the United States does. I mean, I'm looking at these cards, man, and like, for instance, this one right here is War Gamers. You know, it's got this guy and he's got the little thing. I mean, how many times do we really try to emphasize the importance of these think tanks and war games? I mean, this is, man, I got to put these down while I'm talking to you. What else you got for me, Papillon? Go ahead.
Another thing, I have been handing out Obama Deception and Endgame and Terror Storm and, you know, Loose Change. And a coworker is, he's a Scientologist, and he's seen the Obama Deception, and he sent it to some other people he knows in California, and he was asking me about other stuff, so I gave him a copy of Endgame. I guess he's traveling out to California this weekend, and he's going to pass that on. So,
well, that's good, man. I mean, again, you know, I wish someone from Arizona would call in so we could see how, you know, it went today while Obama was at ASU after the, I think they gave out, by the time he was on my show the day before yesterday on Monday, they had given out 8,000. They had like 5,000 more DVDs to give out. It is a true way to awaken people who have no idea about this information.
I would love to see video of people holding up those DVDs in the crowd while, you know, I'm sure they're going to search people and aren't going to let anything like that in, but it would be great to have Obama himself handed a copy by a student.
Yes, yes, it would. Or maybe try to get him to sign it. That would be even better. That would be as good as when, I believe it was, who was it? It was Luke Radowski walking up to David Rockefeller and trying to get him to sign his autobiography in which he admits that he is part of his secret cabal to bring in global governance and the one world order. Oh, but it doesn't exist, Jason. He only writes about it in his memoirs. We'll go to Ronald, Anthony, Jake, and more on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Anthony, Jake, Victor, and more. But I really just got to go through some of these cards. I mean, they got the Hillary Clinton card. They got the EFF card. We're trying to get them on the show. March on Washington. Let's see what else we got here. Madison Avenue, you need more stuff. You ever hear about Alex Jones talk about Madison Avenue and them trying to brainwash you into being mindless consumers? It's right here. Ketchup is a vegetable, intellectuals, liberal agenda. Oops, I lied. I like that one. That's my favorite. That's the oops. Whoops. 9 trillion? Oops. 9 trillion. 9 trillion. It's like, can people even grasp what 9 trillion means? I mean, there's Ronald Reagan. I don't know why they have a monkey on the phone, but that's pretty wild. And this is that Wargamers one that I was talking about. That's pretty wild as well. And right underneath that is the OPEC card. Just a crazy card set. I can't wait to really go through the whole thing. All right, let's go to Ronald in Maryland. Ronald, you're on the line.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Going well, going well.
Oh, yeah, I had finally got enough balls to call up and stuff, man. But I heard you guys had, like, a bug problem going on in the office about fruit flies and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm constantly trying to kill these fruit flies.
Yeah.
You know, as Alex has, like, that yellow thing, I'm doing it more Miyagi style without the without the chopsticks. I'm just really quick and trying to get them.
Yeah, we're having a pretty big bug problem up here with some stink bugs and stuff. We're getting invaded. But, yeah, I was telling you about a remedy about what I do to kill fruit flies. It's what I do is I get some apple cider vinegar, mm-hmm. pour it in a bowl, fill it up about a quarter away, and get some Saran Wrap and cover the top. And then I get a toothpick and puncture some holes in it. And then just set up those traps all around the office. And what they do is they crawl in there and then they try to drink the vinegar, and then they just kill themselves. So that's a good way to exterminate all the bugs.
Sounds good. You got anything else for me?
Yeah, man. If you guys want to check out my website, myspace.com/hallucinogenicarmy.
Mm-hmm.
HallucinogenicArmy.
All right, brother. We'll do that. Thank you. Imelda Marcos is in here. Wow. And Imelda Marcos, she's featured in the new movie Thrilla in Manila. It's basically the Joe Frazier side of the story of the fight with Ali. And they introduce Imelda Marcos in an emerging new world order. I mean, that's really what they started talking about. And they've got her right here. Unbelievable. Let's go to Anthony in Florida. Anthony, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. I want to tell you a couple things. First of all, I love you and Alex, but I also am very mad at you guys. Because up till about a month ago, I was a really just happy-go-lucky guy, Bush supporter. and a friend of mine recommended the Obama deception. I was like, and I never liked Obama, but I'm like, I don't know about all that. So I watched it, and I thought it was a little crazy, but when I watched the end game, mm-hmm. it just blew my world away.
Okay.
And I've actually been going through realizing how little we're cared about, and in fact, how we're despised, and it's literally shooting the world up. So thank you for opening my eyes, but man, you guys need a new person, you know, how to deal with some of this stuff. You know, it really sucks what's going on.
No, you
there.
Know what? Listen, it really does suck that this is going on, but we have to be adults about it. We can't just suck our thumbs and go back to sleep and say, you know what, I want to buy a new iPhone app. And then on top of that, what are the other movies you've seen now that you've been awake a couple months? You've seen Endgame. You've seen Obama Deception. What else you seen?
I've seen Loose Change. I saw Zeitgeist. I'm a Christian, so I wasn't really into the whole Zeitgeist thing. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the Bohemian Grove movie.
Sure.
And then just, you know what? I saw that really, Schindler's List. I saw Schindler's List and seeing what these people, when they're trained, will do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just really, really sucks. But I wanted to tell you guys, keep the good work up. I'm a Christian. I lead worship at a church in Florida. And, so I do my best to tell the people that aren't Christian about Jesus, but to tell the Christians about the government and waking them up to it, because they're following in the masses too. And I just
exactly.
wanted to tell you,
and brother, you know, the main thing is that you got to let them know that the people that they believe that are Christian conservatives that believe in Jesus Christ, no, they don't. They go to the Bohemian Grove during the summer and they do the cremation of care ritual in front of an owl god. All right, they're not Christian conservatives. I thank you for the call, my man. We're going to go to Jake, Victor, and more after this. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlan.tv, InfoWars.com. the prospect is war. You know, who's given the gun and then pushed to the floor? Who's expected to die for the land of our birth, even though they never owned one lousy handful of dirt? We're the first ones to die. It's very, very true, folks. Let's jump to Anthony in Florida. Anthony, you're on the line. Yes, sir. Or do we already do Anthony? So I'm on Jake in Kansas? I'm sorry. I'm losing it, guys. Jake in Kansas, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hello, Jason.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Got a couple questions. When do you start rolling on the TV stream? I'm not a subscriber. I'm just one.
I do it right off the bat. All 3 hours, I do it right off the deal. So like,
oh, that's cool. So like 2 hours with Alex, and then all three with you.
Yeah, you get 5 hours of TV, 7 hours of radio. And if you go to theinfowarrior.com, I posted my entire Monday show on there on video, so you can go check it out.
Okay. Got a nickname for Governor Kathleen Sebelius.
The Bilderberg Queen, I wonder if she's in Greece right now. She may very well be. She's been at the last two.
Okay. Do you know anybody who smokes that electric cigarette? You guys were advertising one of your affiliates.
I've got it right here, my friend. Well, no, I've got it right here. If you watch the...
Is it making you stop smoking the regular cigarettes?
Well, thing is, I'm going to be honest. I don't smoke the regular cigarettes, sir. I've just never.
Oh, so you don't even know I like it.
Yeah. All I know is that when I do smoke a cigarette, it's usually like at a bar, or I obviously dabbled a little when I was a kid, but I've never bought a pack of cigarettes for myself in my life. I've maybe bought 10 packs in my whole life for other people or to have a party for a month or whatever. But you do get the nicotine buzz. It comes in different flavors. There's definitely ones that taste more like a Winston than others. I mean, some of them are a little fruity. I'm not going to lie. Some of them are like apple and coffee and all that other stuff. But then they got the straight tobacco ones, and they taste more like – what it is this little thing right here comes off, and in the cap is liquid nicotine that's flavored. And this is an atomizer, which is much like a vaporizer. So you're really smoking water vapor, and then although you have the appearance of the smoke, it lights up at the end. You can do it inside, and it really, I guess it might crave, do good for your oral craving and just have that feel of having the cigarette.
Thank you. That's awesome. I just wanted to plug a website I just made for a client, and this is about teaching evolution in schools as fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's Institute for the number 4. Origins.org. Institute for Origins.org.
So you're a pro evolution guy, or you're an anti evolution guy?
I'm anti. I mean, I grew up 15 years going to Assembly of God Christian Church, and even though I was a bad boy in church, a lot of the stuff kind of stuck with me.
Well, here's my thing. So, I think that evolution to a certain extent absolutely exists within species. Now, as far as species to species evolution, in other words, we came from an ape or somehow, yeah, exactly, or somehow, fish turned into ground animals. There's really just not any evidence of that. But then to say that there is no evolution throughout the world, if you just look at the human race, for instance, you're going to find white people originated from Europe. You're not going to find too many Asian people that originated outside of China or Asia. You're obviously going to find black people in Africa where it's sunny all the time. You saw people who were brown, from Mexico and the Native Americans because we had seasons. So I think that obviously the environment does have an impact on, species. But at the same time, the way that they teach it, it just doesn't make any sense that we've been able to jump so many times that we never see this actually occurring in our lifetimes. And, I really enjoyed Ben Stein's documentary on it, Expelled, The Case for an Intelligent Design, where he really goes over not only evolution, but creationism and the hypocrisy that schools have in teaching the fact that creationism is a possibility, intelligent design is a possibility, and evolution is not foolproof.
No, you with not. Me?
No, it's absolutely not, my friend. Jake, I thank you for the call. Let's go to Victor in Ottawa. Victor, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. Thanks for all the hard work and the films and everything. I would suggest, actually, if you get it a Saturday afternoon, try playing the Illuminati game. I used to play it all the time. It's actually a lot of fun, and the way it works is actually very realistic as well.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking at the cards. And although there's some goofy ones, it really is. I mean, it has a lot of the subversive stuff. It has a lot of the movement stuff. It has a lot of the main players that are outward in the government and corporations. It's pretty surprising how accurate this guy is. I mean, a lot of people point to the Pentagon attack card and the World Trade Center attack card, but there are a lot of other things that are underlying in this game that people should take a look at.
Yeah. I got a few other things for you.
Sure.
At truthactionottawa.com, we just interviewed a 9/11 eyewitness. His name is David Long, and he was basically, he had to run for his life when the second plane hit, or else debris would have fallen on top of him. And he was talking about molten metal coming out of the buildings at multiple spots. He also has this one point in the interview we did with him where he talks about the reaction of everybody in Manhattan, that you could hear millions of people going, no, when the buildings were about to start falling, that nobody there thought the buildings were going to start falling. So it's at truthactionottawa.com. If you click on the resources tab, it's the first entry.
Excellent. Excellent. And you know what? I mean, there's video. There's no denying that molten metal was pouring from the second building at that one spot. I mean, it looked like a foundry. It was falling 40 to 60 floors below. You could see it dispersing. Stephen Jones did the scientific studies that disproved that that could possibly be aluminum from the plane mixed with other debris in the World Trade Center. No, that was molten steel and molten iron. And again, the temperatures caused by a jet fuel fire make that completely and totally impossible.
That's right, yeah. And he talks about it coming out from multiple spots in both buildings. So just from his testimony, it was pretty interesting.
All right, Victor. You got anything else for me, my man?
Actually, I do. I had an idea for your YouTube battles. Would it be a good idea, perhaps, to post on InfoWars or somewhere torrents of the videos that you want to have up on the web? And then, you know, us activists out here, we pick up on those torrents.
You know, the torrents are good, and we encourage people to put the torrents. I think that the reason that we wouldn't just, you know, advertise torrents is that we don't get the views. In other words,
right,
all
right.
You know the Cedars and Leechers, right? And
yeah,
we could
yeah.
have a tracker if we wanted to do the tracker thing. And then we could say we have so many downloads. But we know we're getting, you know, the podcast is downloaded 150 to 250,000 times a day. Okay? So we know we have these numbers. What we like about YouTube is that the numbers are public. And the public can say, oh, my God, look at this. This Obama deception movie has 1.9 million views, you know? Or this latest Alex Jones rant has 30,000 views. And it's just a lot. It's very convenient to get at people you wouldn't normally get at. Because if you do go to the torrent sites, I mean, Fabled Enemies is up there. Endgame's up there. Terror Storm's up there. Every show we do is up there. And obviously it's seated more the closer you get
but
to the
what
show.
What we do with the videos, once we've downloaded them, we start our own YouTube channels and post those same vids all over the place. And then every time they take one of our channels down, we just start two more channels.
I'll tell you what, people can do that today by simply going to the most popular sites like the Pirate Bay, ISO Hunt, all our stuff's on there. So if they want to take the initiative, we encourage them to. Thank you for the call, Victor. Let's go to James in New York. James, you're on the line.
Yes, first, I'd like to make a statement, and that's, I'm an admirer of yours. I think you're a very sharp guy for a young guy, and I don't want to get bogged down with that.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to ask you, being your ex-New Yorker or a New Yorker,
mm-hmm.
if you were to leave New York, where would you, if you have an answer, where would you go?
All right, well, I'll tell you what, it's really tough if you're in the city because you have to go over the George Washington Bridge or you have to go through the tunnel to get out of the city. You know, you're kind of trapped if something bad happens. Now, I love upstate New York where I live, man. You know, the Catskill Mountain region has always been good to me. I really enjoy the people. There's a ton of land out there. Having traveled the country now, some of the places that I've really enjoyed is Denver, Colorado is great. Phoenix, Arizona is great. Austin, Texas, you know, where I have my main residence now, is great. The problem is that this is a new world order. You know, I've talked about it before, but I got a really great job offer before this one out in Australia, and I gave it some thought. I'm like, man, maybe I will go to Australia. But then I start reading about Australia's draconian internet legislation. You know, we read on air here 2 weeks ago the fact that they're just going to start going with the GMO foods, not labeling them, mixing in the seeds. Sir, I mean, if you love New York, stay there and fight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously, I love this country so much. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I need a liver transplant, and New York is not the place for me to be. I'm not physically what I have been in the past.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll tell you what. If you like New York, you got family there. I'm telling you, upstate New York is like a whole other world, especially if you're in a suburb. You can get a train pretty easily in the Albany area. I would say a suburb of Albany might be a good place for you. You know what I mean? Somewhere in Saratoga is gorgeous. Saratoga Springs is great there. They got a nice little track. I know I'm advertising the track, but I'm telling you,
yeah,
Saratoga Springs. Oh, you do? Well, there you go. There's a nice little place, a little more slow living, still got a lot of civilization. And if you need to get to the city, you can do so. I hope you take me up on it because I love Saratoga Springs too, James. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sam in Wisconsin. Sam, you're on the line.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Jason, you're reading? Okay. Real quick, scientists arrested for smuggling vials using Ebola research in the U.S.
Yep, we covered the story earlier tonight.
You got that? There's a secondary coming out of the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting, referring to the situation also.
And then what are they saying? Because what was interesting about the story to me is it was very broad. They said that this guy, who was a younger guy, smuggled this in from Canada, and that the vials were used in not only Ebola research but HIV research. And they didn't really make it clear whether he had actual Ebola virus or HIV virus, just the vials, right?
Granted, this whole thing stinks of an op. It doesn't make any sense. They're talking about the materials that it's handling or carrying, supposedly heading to a new job in Bethesda, Maryland. Well, a new job in Bethesda, Maryland is what? What's located in Bethesda? All right. Now, this does not compute. None of this works out. Ebola is a Bio-5 grade, okay? They're talking in these articles about his contact with this material being Ebola virus, which is a Bio-5, and HIV, which is Bio-2. The guy had full run of this stuff, and he has been caught moving or trying to move this material. Now, apparently, he stole it on the 21st of January this year, and he was caught on the 5th of May trying to move this material into the States. Now, if you conduct the same backwater workup and look at the separation of this NWO flu that's been processed, you look at the different countries that have been involved in this situation. There have been multiple sources with no common link, no ground zero, no person zero in the whole link. Somebody's pulling an op on this whole friggin' thing.
Well, it's interesting. We're keeping an eye on it. You know, it's Conan Michael Yao. He's 42,
yes,
and he
is.
Was taken into custody. Like I said, it was very suspicious, but it was so broad that until I get more information, you know, I've got to just kind of report what's there and, you know, see where it pans out. I think that this is an even more important story. 7-7 police officers arrested over expense claims, and it looks like they're arresting these guys to possibly shut them up about what they know of the 7-7 attacks. Yeah, the Metropolitan Police officers were arrested in connection with a number of offenses, including misconduct in a public office, conspiracy to defraud, theft, and false accounting. It is believed the allegation relate to misuse of corporate credit cards while they were based in Leeds investigating the background of the suicide bombers. So it looks like these guys started to investigate the quote-unquote suicide bombers of 7-7. Remember, they tried to convict four more of these guys, and only 2 weeks ago they had to let them off on all charges. They had nothing to do with the 7-7 bombings. And then we know they're running drills of blowing up the same exact train stations at the same exact time through Visor Corps. We had Peter Power on Sky Television and the BBC admitting this, and now he doesn't want to talk about it. It is insanity. I thank you for the call, Sam. Let's go to Dave in Ireland. Dave, you're on the line.
How you doing,
yes,
Jason?
Sir. Good, man.
I'd like to comment on this bit of a political publicity stunt that the British government had decided to do with the police.
Okay.
Specifically, there was an incident in March. Mm-hmm. I have an adopted brother from Afghanistan.
Okay.
Who worked in a discount store. And seven, we call them chavs, but they're basically thugs, walked into the store, didn't like the idea that the guy behind the counter was talking on the phone. So they started smashing up the stock, throwing stuff all over the place, and they proceeded to attack them. Now, they didn't count on one of the guys in the shop being a Taekwondo expert who put three of them in hospital and basically knocked out two of the others, and the others run off. And when the police turned up, they arrested my adopted brother and his colleague.
Oh, my God.
To the police station.
Because they were Muslim, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Again, this is the mentality they want the police to have. The brown people are bad. But they want to expand on that. But they've demonized them so much since 9/11, since the 7/7 attacks, that, you know, police officers, oh, my God, he's wearing a turban. Or, oh, my God, he appears to be Muslim. Oh, is that a Quran? Oh, he must be a deadly terrorist. It's absolutely disgusting, sir.
Well, if I can elaborate on it a bit further, before that, the police station in Dover, the immigration center, actually sent a letter for his deportation.
On what grounds?
They held a British passport for 3 years.
Why'd they say they had to deport him?
Because they hadn't updated the records.
They're updating the records, and he's a dangerous Islamic terrorist. He's an extremist. He needs to get out of the country, huh?
Well, I've actually been to Afghanistan and visited his family.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not bad people at all. They don't drink. They don't smoke. Mm-hmm. They were quite happy to take me to a bar, even though they don't drink themselves, so I could see that part of life.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, we have to have this public perception that the UK and the United States of America need to be in Afghanistan more than ever, and the Taliban is resurging, and we're redistributing forces there, so they have to hype up the fear one more time that Islamo-fascism is going to take over the world. Ooh, the boogeyman. So it doesn't surprise me that your stepbrother and his friend are being profiled and they're trying to be kicked out of the country. That's just the way things work in the new world order and the new America. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Kyle in Washington. Kyle, you're on the line.
Hey, I was just wondering, since YouTube is censoring all the videos, why doesn't someone create a new website where we could just upload the videos? Because
InfoWarsTV.com has been created. InfoWarsTV.com has been created. Someone has done that. I don't know if everybody can upload to it. It may be just this one guy, but I think people can set up accounts. I could be wrong, but again, it's not that we can't upload videos to all these other sites. I have a blog up at theinfowarrior.com. It's that YouTube is the biggest. It's an international phenomenon, and they are trying to squelch our viewership and not allow us to bring in people who wouldn't normally check us out. Final segment of the Info Warrior on the other side.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire.
Final segment of the Info War. Remember, if you missed this program, you go to GCNlive.com, listen to it on demand, or get the podcast on the left-hand side of theinfowarrior.com. We have entire Monday show in its entirety up there. I'm also going to be reposting some of the videos other people have put on YouTube outside of the Alex Jones channel, outside of the Info Warrior, outside of the backups, and we thank you for doing that. Let's jump to Skeeter in New York. Skeeter, you're online.
Hey, Brian, what's up? My question is, what do you think that we have to do to get the media's attention on 9/11 at Ground Zero?
You know, it's going to be very tough. I mean, I remember being there on the 5th anniversary, and I thank you for the call. I wish I could keep callers over, but that echo just kills me, folks. I mean, we had 2,000-plus people in Investigate 9/11 t-shirts, and what they did is they kept the cameras inside the pit and not around Ground Zero. Now, last year, they had Ground Zero even more warded off, so you were at Ground Zero, but you were really on the outskirts, and we didn't have 2,000. We were lucky to maybe have 500 to 1,000 there this year. What I think it's going to take is a concerted effort to get 10,000-plus people down there on the 10th anniversary when the media will make a big deal about Ground Zero and 9/11 being 10 years old. Again, you know, I warn people, the society we live in today thinks about things in 5s, 10s, 15s, 20s, 25s. They think of them in multiples of 5. And the 5th anniversary was a big opportunity for us, and to a certain extent, we were successful in getting the mainstream media's eye. We won't be that successful until the 10th anniversary. It's just human psychology. The media has to be – I mean, the media really didn't talk about 9/11 much at all during the 7th anniversary, and I doubt they're going to be talking about it much on the 8th anniversary outside of the fact it's the first 9/11 anniversary with a president outside of Bush. You know, it's going to be Barack Obama's first 9/11, and they're going to use that to push the National Day of Service his new civil service corps. That's going to be the big thing, not to investigate the anomalies of 9/11. I promise you that. From Skeeter in New York to Skeeter in Indiana. Skeeter in Indiana, you're on the line.
Burmes.
Yes, man. Two Skeeters in a row. What are the chances?
This is Cy Tor, but you call me Skeeter, so it's
all right,
good.
Brother.
Jones had Kurt Nimmel on the other day, and he was playing Blue Oyster Cult, and Kurt Nimmel brought up The Stand, and I was just watching that the other night.
It was awesome, by the way. I was a huge Stand fan back in the day. Yeah, right in the very beginning. Let me explain it to people. Right in the very beginning, some guy leaves a military base, and he's sick with this kind of flu virus, and from him, the entire population gets it. Less than like 2% survive, and one of the survivors is literally Satan, and Satan takes over a clan of people, and just craziness ensues. It was this little mini-series that they did back in the 90s by Stephen King based on the book. It's intense.
And they even talk about swine flu on the news in there. And just to leave you with, man, check out Time Is Running Out by Brand Nubian.
Brand Nubian, Time Is Running Out. I will. I thank you for the call, my man. So what do we learn today, kids? We learned that they're arresting officers involved in the 7/7 bombings. It looks like they're charging them with bogus charges. We learned that somebody is smuggling vials of possibly Ebola and HIV out of Canada, but not a lot out of there. We learned that somebody can apparently not only kill two people, his wife, then himself, but also bury himself. We don't know where this story is going, but all I'm saying is people who commit suicide usually don't bury themselves, not even halfway. We learned that you can't try shooting films with toy guns. You may be arrested, especially in Bakersfield, California. You know, there's a lot of film going on in Bakersfield, folks, in California in general. And these student filmmakers, nope, you're going to jail. No toy guns for you. Lucky they didn't get shot. I mean, we went over the policing pledge in the UK, how bobbies are our friends and we need to tattle on our neighbors. We went over the swine flu story from 1971, where the CIA dispersed African swine virus in a biological attack. It's called reality. I'm the Info Warrior. Be back tomorrow, 9 to midnight Central Time.